blessing, wasn't it? Man. Isn't it good to know that God's got it under control? It is sweet. Man, if you've never really had to trust God before, I mean, you know, we talk about trusting God, but if you've never really been in a place where you've had to trust Him, then it's hard to understand that. And she's singing about an unseen hand that you don't see. See, we like to see things. No, we like the evidence. We say we like the evidence, but sometimes we'll believe just about anything. And so it's hard for us to have faith in God because we'll say, well, I don't see the evidence. And you're never going to really walk by faith until you say, you know what, I don't have to know. I don't have to know all the answers. I don't have to know the path. I just need to take this next step of faith, and God will lead me, and He's never led me astray before. And so that's the unseen hand she's singing about. And I'm pretty certain that in the days ahead, we're going to have to cling to that because there's not a real clear path of what's going to happen next other than Jesus is coming back. And we don't know what that's going to look like between now and then, but I can almost guarantee you this, not going to get better. And so you'd better, and let's be honest, every day, we're amazed. At least I am. Every week I'm amazed. It seems I turn on the news or you hear something and you're going, I just can't believe this. I can't believe this. And at some point in time, I hope we get to the place where we start saying it's something else, but I'm starting to believe it. Because I still think we have this hope that everything's going to get better. Right? We have this idea that things are going to turn around and I just don't believe they are. And I think that you and I are really going to have to trust God greater than we ever have before. And so you'd better have clung to the unseen hand in times past because you're going to have to in times future. And so I want to share with you, we've been preaching on prayer the last few weeks. And I want you to turn to Song of Solomon chapter 2 tonight. Song of Solomon chapter 2. And Song of Solomon is a unusual book of the Bible. It's really a love story. And in the Jewish culture, they wouldn't let kids read this. It was considered too graphic. And wish we had some of that modesty today. And so it's a little bit difficult to read because it switches back and forth, right? So it's not the whole book is not written to a bride or a groom, but it switches back and forth. And so you really have to pay attention to it. But in preaching on prayer the last few weeks, I want to give you this thought tonight. There are levels of prayer. Now we think that prayer, again, we've heard it and we've said it, prayer is simply talking to God, right? And that's true. But just like there are levels of intimacy in our relationship with our husband or wife, there's small talk, how was your day, how was my day, here's what happened today, what's going on with the kids, we watch the news, can you believe this? There's also a level of intimacy where you share who you are. Get that? You share your heart. Most people don't get there. They don't understand that. And so there's that level of prayer. If prayer is talking to God, right? If prayer is communicating with God, then there are levels of that as well. And so here in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 14, the Bible said, "Oh, my dove that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Look at verse 15. "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." Verse 16. "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies." Now notice verse 17. "Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethair." And so I want to share with you this thought tonight and won't preach very long. I know we've got a lot going on and I appreciate what God's already done in the service so far. But I want to take us on a journey and help us understand maybe about climbing to a higher rung in our prayer life. I said it just earlier, as we're climbing the stairs of prayer, there are different levels of prayer. There's a prayer for needs to be met, and God invites us to share our needs with Him. But let's be honest, that's in one sense somewhat of a selfish prayer. And again, it's not selfish in the fact God tells us to do it, but we're not interceding for someone else. We're praying for what we need. And then there is the prayer for direction, and we need to pray for direction in our life. We need to pray for God's will in our life, and who we're to marry and what jobs we're to take and where we're to go. Nothing wrong with that either. Then there is the interceding for others, and we'd definitely say that's a high level of prayer because it really doesn't have anything to do with us. We're praying and interceding on behalf of someone else. It's a very selfless prayer. Can we agree there? And so then there is a prayer to truly get to know and experience God deeper than we've ever experienced Him before. And I think that's what we're going to need going forward. You know, oftentimes we'll say, well, let's pray. We pray on Wednesday night after the service, and we pray specifically for our nation and revival. But I have noticed this, and again, I'm not critical. If you pray in 5 minutes and you're good with that, I'm okay with that. I'm not here saying you should spend X amount of minutes or hours, but let's not get to the place where prayer just becomes an act. It becomes a religious ritual. Well, we pray on Wednesday night, or I pray before my meal, or I pray after I read my Bible, and it really does not mean anything. It's almost like if we schedule a business appointment with our wife or husband and say we're going to meet every Friday night and here's our agenda. That's not a bad thing in some instances, but you're probably never really going to intimately know your spouse. Can we agree with that? And so as we look at this, the ultimate peace and joy that exists in really knowing Christ, not just knowing about Him, Brother Matt, but actually knowing Christ and knowing who He is and Him impacting our life, does not come in a shallow prayer life of just making our needs known and interceding for others, but is really spent in the Word of God so we can know the heart of God, and also that we are to share our heart. And I understand tonight, God knows our heart. He knows it better than we do. He knows our mind. He knows our thoughts before we even think them, really. But tonight, we have to get serious about our prayer life and getting to know God. Or I promise you, as things get more difficult in this world, in our lives, most people will not stick with God. If your relationship with Christ is simply a verbal commitment, and it's not a heartfelt relationship, if it's something that you do out of obligation and you don't really know the mind and heart of God, I promise this, it's going to be very difficult in the days ahead to live for God. And so I want to share with you these few thoughts I had out of this scripture that has touched my heart and hopefully it'll touch yours. And when we think of that climbing the stairs of heaven, and I mentioned it's an intimate place of knowing God, I want you to know, first of all, that in verse 14, the Bible gives us a secret name. What do you mean by that, preacher? The Bible said in verse 14, the writer says, all my dove that are in the cleft of the rock. Now, you realize, I guess it's probably not the best time to use this example when everybody's trying to shoot the birds out of the sky at this time of the year, is it? But at least, Brother Jimmy, in Bible times, that dove was a type or a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. We look in the New Testament as the dove ascended on Jesus and God the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. It was a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And so we do realize that tonight, that secret name here, my dove, we look at the intimacy of that name. In other words, as you read Song of Solomon, this is not a story of two people that don't know each other. It is a story of two people that know each other very well. Now, I want to ask you tonight, how well do you really know your Heavenly Father? How well do you know your Savior? How well do you really know not only what God wants out of your life, but what God really wants to share with you? Tonight, as we look at this, it's a name only known by us. Nobody else knows God like we should know God. Amen. Hey, the lost man doesn't know your Heavenly Father the way you're supposed to know Him. The one walking far from God, if they're backslidden, does not know God like you're to know Him. May I say there is an opportunity for us tonight as believers to be in such a fellowship with God that, my friend, it will astound us. It puts us in, I'm not talking about mysticism, but I'm talking about that you and I can then walk above what's going on. And that's really what the Bible tells us to do, that we're to soar above it as an eagle. And the only way to do that is to spend time intimately with God. It's a name that only that are known by His own. My sheep know my voice. Friend, listen, this world's not ever going to know Jesus, His voice until they know Jesus. And so when we're expecting them to get better and the world to get better, it's not going to happen. But you and I can know Him in dark times, and we can know Him in the storms of life, and we can hear the voice of God when it seems that no one else can. And so it is a name like none else. You know what? Isn't it interesting? Last night as we were, they had asked us to come to the, I don't even know what it was. I told Miss Ellen, said, I thought you said it was a ladies' meeting you was going to. But Tim said he thought I said it was a men's meeting. And it was something. I don't even know what it was. All I know is we got invited and said, would you come and give the invocation? And I thought she wanted me to speak. She said, no, I just want you to give the invocation and the benediction. I said, okay, but while I had chance, I said something. And it's just interesting to me, the same ones and the same ones and the same ones talk about how bad everything is. And I mentioned last night, I said, you know, we talk about fixing things and talk about praying for America. And we talk about all these things. And I said, I've been at this church 19 years and I keep hearing about how no churches and no pastors want to do anything in this county and they don't care. I said, may I tell you, there's one up in Arcadia, North Carolina that does care. And there's a pastor that cares that's here tonight. And I said, we pray for our country every Wednesday night. So if you care about it, you're welcome to come and pray. See, we've forgotten how to pray. We've forgotten how powerful prayer is. Brother Jimmy, you can mark 7 or 8 invitation cards, because, you know, it's interesting how many people, when it comes to things like that, they're all looking for a church. And I haven't seen any of them yet. Probably won't. But we'll welcome them if they come. It's just interesting to me that people don't want you to pray in His name. They don't want you to mention Him. They don't mind when times are tough if you say, let's pray. They don't want you praying to Jesus. For the believer, it's an intimate name that brings comfort. Man, I love to hear songs about Jesus, don't you? I mentioned it this morning. Most gospel songs we hear today sounds more like a country ballad than they do something that would exalt the Savior. But I love to hear songs about Jesus. I love to hear preaching about Jesus, and I love to hear people talk about what He's done in their life. And isn't it good to know that that same Jesus is the Jesus that you can intimately know in that secret place, and that you know a secret name that no one else that does not know Him knows? But there's also the implication of that name in the word, oh my dove, as we said, as we see the picture of the Holy Spirit. It gives us the holy nature, Brother Gary, of God. And friend, may I say tonight, we have so humanized the person and the character of God to think that He is down here where we're at, that we do not approach Him the way He deserves to be approached. We're not the same as He is. Amen. We're not on His level. He invites us to come into His presence, but we're not on the same level as He is. Amen? And so that privilege of calling on His name, don't ever take for granted that you have the privilege to call on the name of the God of glory, the Creator of the universe, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Because, my friend, others who do not know Him as their Savior cannot call on Him like you can. It's the way that we approach that name that really matters. We won't go over it again, but we talked about the model prayer, that the very first thing Jesus taught His disciples to do was come to the Father. in a respectful manner. So it's number one, a secret name, but then a secret refuge. The Bible said here in verse 14, thou that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. You see in there the treasure of that name. The cleft speaks of hiding. And isn't it wonderful to know when storms of life come and there's nowhere really to hide, that there's that secret place of prayer that you can go for a little bit of refuge. And it doesn't mean the storms are not raging outside, but at least for that time of prayer, there's peace and comfort and serenity. And so it speaks of protection and it speaks of stability. You know, the greatest weapon that we have as believers is prayer. The safest place we have is the closet of prayer. And the least utilized weapon that we have is prayer. And no wonder Christians are in turmoil and homes are destroyed and our nation is going down the tube. It's because we as God's people we've not taken advantage of the great privilege that we have to pray. And if we do pray, typically it's that shallow, Lord, give me this, take care of this, I'm going through a trial. Do we really try to get to know God in the way that He wants us to know Him? So it talks about the treasure of that name, but also the trust of that name. It doesn't say the cleft of the sand or the cleft of the dirt or the cleft of something else. It gives us an unmovable object. The rock is immovable. It's constant. His faithfulness causes us to trust in Him. And as the girl sang this morning about the unchanging Word of God, it's no wonder, friend, that we don't have that comfort and that peace and that strength and that confidence in God when we won't spend time in His unchanging Word. See, we're an emotional society that wants to feel something. And in order to feel something, you have to have the factual evidence. And the factual evidence is found in the Word of God. And if we won't spend time in the Word of God, how can we feel the presence of God? We want to feel the presence of God without spending time in the factual evidence of the presence of God. It's no wonder, Brother Eddie, we have such anemic Christianity today, because we won't do the very things that God tells us to do. Pray without ceasing. Study to show thyself approved. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. See, if we're not willing to do the things that we know that are in the Word of God that are written down in black and white, how can we expect God to illuminate us and reveal to us other more mysterious things about the nature of God when we won't simply grab on to the very thing that we know to grab on to? The trust of that name and the secret refuge. Then number three, there is a secret joy. Notice in verse 14, it talks about not only the secret place, but it says, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. It's interesting, isn't it? Because in order for her to know that the voice of her dove is sweet, she's had to hear it before. It is not a singular occurrence to her that she heard that, but it's something that has been more than one time. Can we agree with that? And so there is a secret joy here. The Bible said, let me see thy countenance and hear thy voice. It doesn't always happen this way, Brother Lee. It doesn't always, every time you go in the prayer closet, you get in that smoky area where God really shows up and you really feel the presence of God. It doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes, let's be honest, you and I struggle just to get the words out. Sometimes we struggle just simply to log in a prayer time. But it is interesting sometimes when we really, Brother Junior, start getting deep in there, We get past that surface conversation of meet my need and guide me and bless this and bless that. And we really start getting deeper in that time of prayer. Sometimes there's a different atmosphere. Boy, if you've ever been there, you don't want to get out. If you've ever been there, you long for it to happen again. And I want to say this. I've been a Baptist a long time. And I know that a lot of Baptists get nervous when things get a little unusual. But it doesn't really shake me up a whole lot. See, I think what's happened is you and I have gotten so used to this thing of got to be this, this, and this, and this, and we want to stand up and sit down and sing three songs and preach a few minutes, and we got to get out and, you know, preach at night. Now we got that shower after the service, and you boys are going to go out to eat, and so let's not spend too much time in the worship hour. Let's try to be conscious of that. And it's almost like we're saying, God, listen, if you can do it in this time frame, we're good with it. But if not, we're going to have to postpone it because we're busy. So we sit, stand up, sit down, pray, give the offering, do our thing, walk out the door and go, boy, I tell you what, my life is miserable. Brother Matt, I still don't have any joy. I sure am depressed. I sure am discouraged. I sure am downtrodden. I sure have this storm I'm going through. You know what? Nate, when's the last time you really felt the presence of God? Hello? Now, I'll say this. You say, well, preacher, we don't want to get too emotional. We don't want to get too excited. They may think we're charismatic. I don't know if they think that or not. I'll tell you what, if you do your history, the charismatics didn't get around until the early 1900s. The Baptists were around a lot longer than that, shouting. Well, we ought to be more concerned about being dead orthodoxes than we should worry about being charismatic. Most Baptist churches I've been in, you don't have to worry about them thinking you're charismatic. They think your dad is a hammer. I'm just saying, man, when you get to that place where you experience God in a different manner than just up and down and religious and you long for it. See, the secret joy is this. Watch this. He delights in our prayer. God delights in your prayers. God is interested. The Lord enjoys our prayer time more than we do oftentimes. He delights in our prayer and He delights in His people, and we're not a burden to Him, friend. Let's stop with all this. We're burdening God with our problem. He's interested. Whatever's a big deal to you is a big deal to Him. He's concerned with you. Amen? He wants to. Hey, listen. If you know how it is, Mom, Dad. If you've got to inconvenience yourself a little bit to spend some time with your kids, you would do it. You're not inconveniencing God any. He is longing. Listen to me. He is longing for you to pray. He delights in our prayer, but we delight in His presence. There's nothing greater than knowing God is with us. Let me say it again. There's nothing greater than knowing God is with us. Comforting. It is comforting to experience the presence of God. I'll tell you how those old saints of God, when they're drawing their last breath, they look up into heaven and they're comforted. They're not screaming in pain. You know why? Because they understand the presence of God. Hallelujah. See, we are to delight in His presence. The Bible says in verse 15, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. for our vines have tender grapes. Let me ask you this. What is it that is hindering your prayer life? Because here the Bible talks about little foxes that spoil the vines. Not big foxes, not tornadoes, not hurricanes, not tsunamis. Right? Little foxes. Small things. What are the small things in our life that hinders our intimate fellowship with God? In your life, you have to determine what those small foxes are. Right? I do too. I don't know why. When I get up in the morning, I don't normally look at my phone for a while. I don't turn on the news. I want to, if Abigail's, she's been making the coffee. I've trained her. Hallelujah. She's even got a little alarm on her phone. And so when I get up in the morning, smell the aroma of the good stuff. Black Rifle coffee. And I'll go in my office and I'll shut the door and I'll spend time praying, spend time in my Bible early in the morning. And Brother Johnny, I would think it would be safe at 4 o'clock in the morning. But there have been times where I've gotten a text from some yahoo that's up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking, is there no, people don't sleep. Do they text all the time? Or someone texted the night before and it pops up. There's always something, right? And then sometimes, you know what? We have a late night and I go to bed late and I don't get up early, right? And I go, oh, and my schedule is delayed and I don't pray. Or I'm too tired or I just don't feel like. There are all these little foxes, all these little distractions, all these little things that can hinder our prayer life. And you got to figure out what they are in your life. And you got to remove them. You got to kill some foxes. Get rid of them. Because if you can't do it, it will destroy your vineyard. Destroy your prayer life. You won't have the joy. You won't understand what the intimacy of prayer really is like. And you'll just go through the motions and rush through it. And maybe it's time. Maybe you look and say, preacher, I just don't have the time to pray like that. Well, can I say this? Make the time. Figure it out, man. I mean, just figure out what you've got to do to destroy some of those foxes in your life. Because I promise you it is worth it. And then I'll close with this in verse 17. There is a secret exhilaration. The Bible said, until the daybreak, in verse 17, the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like, right? Be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethel. When you get to the place that you are able to pray in that secret place and experience the things that we've just talked about, there is a exhilaration that you and I have. Can we agree with that? If you've ever been to a revival where God is really doing something and it's not just going, you walk out of there and it changes you. And there's times when you really get in that secret place and God does something for you and with you that it is changes us. And so it is an evidence of the feet. What do you mean by that? The Bible said like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains. In other words, our proof of the exhilaration that we really experience with God, watch this, is that we obey the Lord. You can talk about all the sacrifices you make if you want to, but you know what? Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Just obeying God.
You say, but I'm making all these sacrifices for the Lord. You're really not, right? I'm giving 25% instead of 10%. I'm sacrificing. You're really not, because it's His anyway. I'm sacrificing my time to come to church. No, He's the giver of time. Sacrificing whatever it is. We're really not, folks. It should be our joy. And so when we think of it, the evidence is that we obey God. If you really experience God and experience how wonderful He is, then you would want to follow Him. You'd want to do what He wants you to do. You would want to spend more time with Him. And so our proof is that we obey Him, but the proof is also that we seek Him. Let me ask you this. Are you seeking Him in your life, or is your prayer life asking God to give you what you've already decided? That's a big difference. When you're an open canvas and say, God, I want to do Your will no matter what it is, You show me. That's a whole lot different than saying, God, I want this. Now make it Your will. Amen? So tonight we have to understand that there's evidence of the feet, but also evidence of the face. You remember when Moses came down after spending time with God? He had to cover his face. Why? Because there was a glow about him. Now watch. It's no wonder we don't see more people asking us what's wrong with us in a good way, because let's be honest, there's not a lot of people have the glow. The joy of our time with the Lord causes us to look different. You can tell when somebody's been in the secret place. They talk different. They look different. They actually smile once in a while. Baptist folk, that'd be a nice change, right? You can stay on that bottom rung of prayer if you want to, and I can too. It's up to us. Or you can go to the next one, or you can go to the next one, or you can go anywhere along the way. But if you want, and I want to experience God on a deeper level, then we're going to have to go higher. We're going to have to stop spending so much time making our prayer life a Christmas list of things we want. Stop spending so much time blubbering about all the things that are wrong. You ever thought about this? When we start telling God all the stuff, now Lord, You know how bad things are in this world. Can I give You time? He does. He's fully aware how bad things are. Right? And You know. You see the Lord up there going, I do. Yeah, I know. I know what's going on. I want you to recognize it. And sometimes we pray and we try to convince the Lord we love Him more than we really do. Yeah. The Lord, You know how much I love You. Right? Yeah, I do. I'm very aware of how much You really love me and how much You think You love me. Right? But God wants us to recognize these things. Right? He's interested in us. He's interested in knowing us and us knowing Him. Question is, are we? Because if we never get past the prayer life of God, I need. God, I'm burdened. God, things are bad. Father, You know. And again, please don't misunderstand me. There is a time and place for that. But if you never get past those, you'll never get to the place where you truly know God. And may I say that is what is going to sustain us and keep us going forward. Let's stand together.